You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
I was born in Seoul, Korea in the early 60s, and I was one of the very few Korean kids who attended the Seoul American Elementary School. Majority were U.S. military children who spoke English fluently and were much bigger than I was. You see, I started kindergarten at 4 years old, and being the smallest, youngest, looking different, and not knowing how to speak the language, in my world, I became a foreigner in my own country. Early childhood experiences and traumas have a huge impact on young people's self-esteem and confidence, and was one thing that I truly lacked growing up. But you know what? That was until I discovered that I was good at something, that I was really good at athletics. Confidence can be described as a belief in oneself and one's ability to succeed. And at 10 years old, when I picked up my first baseball bat, gosh, I realized that I was on the same playing field as everyone else, that only my athletic abilities were really what matters, not my size, my age, my race, or gender. That was the beginning of me chipping away my fears, my shame of being the smallest, the shortest, and all the racial slurs and bullying I experienced. That started being completely neutralized. And then, of course, I slowly started to develop my self-confidence and self-esteem. And then that's when I started to love my life. Today, we have someone who is an expert in confidence development, a cutting-edge Los Angeles-based psychologist who is known as an innovative thinker, acclaimed speaker, and the best-selling author of the new book, 90 Seconds to a Life You Love, How to Master Your Difficult Feelings to Cultivate Lasting Confidence, Resilience, and Authenticity. I'm so honored to have one of my best friends and confidant, Dr. Joan Rosenberg, right here on Wellness for Life. I can't tell you how excited I am. Thanks so much for being here, Dr. Joan.
I'm super excited to be with you, Suzanne. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, you bet. I'm really excited about your book. I've been waiting for this for a long time. And thank you so much again for sending me a copy of it. And you know what? I'd love to know your take, of course. What does it take to develop and feel real confidence?
Well, the key for people to understand is that that confidence, you can learn confidence, and you can also learn resilience. So the most simple way to talk about it is that confidence develops when you have the deep sense that you can handle the emotional outcome of whatever you pursue. So it's this whole idea of feeling capable and resourceful in the world.
Mm. Well, that makes sense, because when I was really young, I just couldn't jive with my environment, the people, the community. But as soon as I got on the field, my goodness, everything changed. It's crazy how even my friends that, were my friends, they even gave me more positive feedback. And I just fed off of all that. And I'd say that my coach was probably the most important person in my life back then. And my coach, Savon and Frank Hills, I won't ever forget them because they were the ones that really got me to show my skills, being able to say, hey, you can do this, and just a little bit of facilitation on their part made a huge difference in my life.
Yeah, no, totally understand that. And we have strong parallels in our beginning too. So, and the beauty is that sometimes when you develop confidence in one area of your life, and realize that you can take action and you can pursue that.
Yeah, of course. And when we talk about your approach, so let's say someone comes in and they want to develop their confidence. So once you share with them that, it's the way you also handle and that you're being rewarded by what you're doing internally and you're feeling that presence of like empowerment, what other factors can you do continuously so that you're going to continue to rebuild your confidence?
The first thing that I talk about is being able to handle or manage unpleasant feelings. To me, that's at the base of confidence. It's actually being able to handle the unpleasant feeling outcome of things not turning out the way you want. I think that's one key piece. A second is your belief system. So having a positive outlook and having kind of the right attitude that help you develop kind of this bounce back quality, the ability to be resilient, That's a second major thing that people need to be able to handle. So certainly the first is unpleasant feelings. The second is how people think.
Well, what type of unpleasant feelings are you talking about, like shame and anger, that kind of thing?
Yeah, my whole approach in my 90 Seconds book is tied to this whole, I actually use a formula. It's tied to people being able to handle or manage 8 unpleasant feelings. And they're the feelings of sadness, shame, helplessness, anger, vulnerability, embarrassment, disappointment, and frustration. So I have kind of a formula to it, if you're interested in hearing the formula.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we all feel one of those 8 unpleasant feelings every day. I'm sure we all do. But you know what? It doesn't go away in 90 seconds. 90 seconds is like, I don't understand. You know, so that's an important factor, I think, that I want our listeners to understand, is that what is it about the number 90 seconds, and what is it that we can do, the process, the formula you're talking about?
So let's dig into this. For me, again, the basic confidence is being able to handle unpleasant feelings. I believe that if people can manage the 8 that I just mentioned, it goes a long way to helping them pursue whatever they want. And so I use a formula. So it's one choice, 8 feelings, 90 seconds. We've already talked about the 8 feelings. The one choice has to do with a choice to stay aware of the feelings and in touch with these feelings, as opposed to avoiding them. So it's awareness, and then it's the 8 feelings, and then the 90 seconds part of the formula is understanding that when feelings fire off for us, for any of and whatever we're feeling, when a feeling fires off and kind of from the brain, it puts a kind of a it rushes biochemicals into the bloodstream, and those biochemicals activate bodily sensations. And we know what we're feeling through those bodily sensations. So think fast heartbeat, or butterflies in your stomach, or maybe you feel your face getting red and your face is flushing and for embarrassment. So there's all sorts of bodily cues that help us know what we're feeling emotionally. And then those biochemicals flush out of the bloodstream in roughly 90 seconds. So the idea is to help people understand that all they have to do is to ride these waves, if you will, of bodily sensation. And again, it's not one wave, it's one or more waves, but each one of those waves isn't going to last more than roughly 90 seconds. So what I found is that when people get upset and are having a hard time dealing with feelings, it's not that they don't want to feel a feeling, it's they don't want to feel the bodily sensation that helps them know what they're feeling emotionally. So if you keep in mind, it's this 90-second wave, then you can probably handle 90 seconds.
The problem I find with my patients, and, you know, sometimes in my family, as myself, is that 90 seconds, that is definitely the physiological response, how our body is handling it, but our mind will keep on at it. Our mind will ruminate about it, think about it, go over every little detail about it. That's the biggest problem, Joan.
I think that's a second part of the problem. When I said earlier that we have to really kind of be able to not only deal with the unpleasant feelings, we also have to deal with kind of our beliefs and attitudes. So the how or what we think. So that's part of it too. So yes, we have to get a hold of continually thinking the same thing over and over that keeps on firing off the same feeling. And the key there is to understand that when you keep running through something over and over and over again, you're really trying to resolve something. And part of it is to try to redirect your thinking to, all right, so if this situation were to be resolved for me, what is it that needs to happen for me to get some sense of completion or some sense of resolution? And then we can change up our thinking.
Got it. So that, one, one, 8, 90. So one, be aware. And when you're being aware, when you advise people, are you saying aware of your physical body, aware of your emotions? What are you asking people to be more aware of?
I'm actually asking people to be aware of whatever they notice that's happening for them, to notice their thinking, to notice the emotional feeling, to notice the bodily sensation, to notice observations that they're making, whatever is coming into their awareness, that's what I want them to stay aware of. So it could be a thought, it could be a bodily sensation, it could be the awareness of the emotional feeling itself.
Got it. And then once they recognize that, they also know that, you know what, I'm feeling sad about this. And then you let that 90 seconds, you ride the wave of the physicality shift in the body. Then afterwards, yeah. What's your recommendation?
You know what? When people are able to stay with that in just the way you described, Suzanne, then what ends up happening often are people get insight. And they get insights like, I need to talk to somebody about this, or insights that they need to set a clearer boundary, or that they want to make a certain kind of decision. So I actually think it breaks down to three parts. That insight helps them either make a decision, express themselves, or take some kind of an action.
Hmm. Well, decision making, but expression. I mean, that often takes confidence. It takes confidence to talk to the individual who upset you, or talk to your boss because you're not getting the raise that you really want. So then what is it that individuals can do within themselves? I mean, this is, you know, we want to learn how to start to really build. Once you recognize, hey, I can see how I'm feeling. And that brings on self-confidence. That's empowering, that I have more awareness of who I am, what's going on. And then what else can we do to help us build our esteem and confidence?
Well, here's the interesting thing. Most people think that they have to have confidence to speak up, or they think that they have to have confidence to take an action. And I actually see it the opposite direction. It's almost paradoxical or kind of counterintuitive. Backwards, if you will. And that the truth is that it's when we take action, or it's when we speak, that we develop confidence, not the other way around. So it's like when you were talking about being out on the ball field, you developed your confidence as a ball player by being out there and doing it, not by thinking about it and then going, I'm confident, and then I can go do it. And the same is true for people speaking up. In fact, difficulty speaking up isn't a speaking problem, it's a feeling problem. People are afraid to feel vulnerable, which is one of the eight feelings, and so they don't speak. Or they find it hard to deal with the other unpleasant feelings, and they don't speak. So the truth is, we develop confidence. One of the major ways is by being able to handle the unpleasant feelings. And so that's one. The just being in touch with the feelings is one way. A second is speaking. Again, it was speaking, then we develop the confidence. Taking action is a third, and so we take action, and then we develop confidence. And I think another big one that people don't talk about very much is the accepting compliments is actually another way that people develop confidence.
Oh, wow. You know what? You're absolutely right. You know, a lot of people kind of like say, oh, no, you know, I'm doing it this way, or they have some type of an excuse of some sort of why they're getting compliments. Why do people do that? Why do they not say, God, thanks so much. I really worked hard on doing this, and I'm really glad that you recognize that. And why do people have trouble with that?
You know what? I think we're taught a great many things. In fact, in my 90 seconds book, I put like two or three pages of what I call compliment blockers. And for people to kind of go through that checklist and see if that's something that they learned. We're taught not to, we don't want to appear conceited. We are taught that we should be humble. We're taught that we should not accept them, right? There's so many different reasons that people learn to not accept compliments. Except I really see compliments as having a central role in helping people either not necessarily develop confidence, but to help sustain it or build it. And the way I look at compliments is that they're a reflection of you back to you. So it's not that somebody's saying something nice to you out of thin air or, you know, out of the blue. They're noticing something about you, or they're experiencing something of you, and they want to reflect that back to you. So they compliment you. And so the ultimate outcome of it is that if you allow yourself to really take it in, then I think it actually helps you helps someone update their self-image.
Mm.
So you update yourself by by taking them in. And otherwise, you keep going on the same view of yourself. But if you're told something about yourself enough, and you go, oh, yeah, I am that, and that's who I wanted to be, now you can actually update and feel, literally feel it in your body, that you are who it is that you have wanted to become.
Mm.
So I think it's so compliments solidify really positive changes you make for yourself.
I also believe that the person who is complimenting you gets a huge value as well.
Oh,
they
absolutely.
Feel joy in seeing your face and feel good about, and you're telling the truth. You know, most people want to compliment someone because it's true that that's what they see.
Right. Right. So when somebody dismisses a compliment that's being given, they're actually dismissing the other person's experience of reality.
Wow, that's huge, what you just said. That if you do dismiss whatever you are receiving from someone, it's like you're saying, hey, I don't want this gift from you.
And I'm going to toss out what you just said. I don't believe your reality, your perception of reality is true.
Right, which is discounting their feelings. That's such a good point.
That's
so
awesome.
The four ways that I just heard and that I know the audience has heard, I want to recap, is that to build confidence, you, number one, want to be aware and deal with your unpleasant feelings. Number two is you want to share about it. You want to vocalize it. Use your voice in talking about whatever the situation is. Then number three is creating action to help you piggyback on what you are sharing or what you're talking about. And then number four is accepting the gifts that you get from people and that those are the compliments that people are want to give you.
Absolutely.
Did I get that right?
Absolutely. You got that 100% right. Yes. Absolutely. And the other thing I would just add here is that in my mind, speaking up is singularly the most important thing that people need to learn how to do.
Oh, speaking up,
taking action is huge. But so I'm not going to dismiss the importance of that. But I think speaking up singularly has a central role in people developing confidence.
Yes, yes. You know, I didn't share this earlier in my little intro, is that I actually didn't talk for many years growing up. I think I didn't say much because of the living situation I was in, very volatile in my family life. My father was a manic depressive, an alcoholic. So, I didn't say much at all, even up until like 4 or 5 years old. So my throat chakra and then my energy of my throat and the need to speak up, it was very, very difficult. So, you know, going into my adult life, speaking up and speaking in front of a group. Oh, my gosh. I mean, you are hearing me right now out there. I'm on the radio. This would have never happened when I was in my teenage or adult, even young adult life. I really just started doing and opening up my voice at about 50 years old. 50 years old, John.
I know, but look what happens once you do, and you saw how well received you are.
Right.
So, and then right. So you take the risk to be vulnerable to speak up, and you're willing to handle whatever happens because you're doing that, which are the other seven unpleasant feelings, and then you keep growing from it because you're seeing the results that you're getting from actually speaking. So again, it's understanding that you have to speak first, and then the confidence emerges because you are speaking up.
That's exactly true.
And then you get more confident, right? And then you get more confident, and then you want to go do more stuff.
Absolutely. You know, having this radio show has been a huge impact, and particularly not just for the fact, you know what, being on the radio, you're not on stage or anything like, so it's a little bit more easier. So when I got into the working with radio and doing the shows regularly, I got to experience speaking to people that I've never known before, talking about really exciting things, learning a lot of new things. But what ended up happening was that I started slowly getting on stage, doing it in front of TV, being out into the world, and what a difference. It really helped and gave me the confidence that, you know what, I can do this even being in front of a group, being in front of large groups. And that's what's super fun for me. And it's going to, and then continually developing my confidence with that. Now, on the other end, we mentioned about compliments. there's also really, there's, once you're out there in the celebrity public figure world, you get criticisms, harsh criticisms.
Oh, heck. Yes, you know? You do. Well, you get criticism. Yes, you get a lot of criticism from others. And that means, again, that means being able to deal with the eight feelings I talked about. So, because the outcome of that are again, you could be disappointed, you could be embarrassed, you could be frustrated, you could be angry. All those things are possibilities.
Yeah, I don't even think about that, you know, anymore, only because, you know what, I just want to get my information out there. And if I'm interested in this information, there's got to be a lot more people interested in it, too. So I just go with that and kind of like let it, you know, just roll off my back. But, you know, I don't get a lot of harsh. I've had people say certain things, like on, let's say, comments and whatnot. But I'm totally cool about that. Let's discuss it. Let's discuss it. Sometimes you get the opportunity to help you change their mind.
You're talking about harsh self-criticism now.
Oh, well, no, right? I'm not talking about self-criticism. I'm talking about, you know, people have criticized, you know, people criticize others. People are weird in that manner. And people might say things just like when young people, they get bullied. You know, I mean, I got bullied a lot when I was a little kid. And being Korean, I was dealt with a lot of racial bullying.
Right. Yep. Well, we have parallels, not the racial stuff, but certainly I was bullied on my side, too. I mean, part of it is understood. There's many different ways to take a look at the whole notion of other people criticizing you. And one is understanding that you want to pull away from worrying about what other people think of you.
That's right.
And again, that's easier said than done. And one of the ways is to understand that when you get preoccupied with what other people are thinking, you're really distracting from the experience of feeling vulnerable. And that's the main thing to keep in mind, is that it's like if I'm constantly worrying about them, then I'm actually not seeing through my own eyes. I'm trying to look through their eyes. So the key is stay focused on what you're observing, what you're perceiving. And if to bring you back in the moment, just ask yourself what I'm thinking, feeling, needing, or perceiving to kind of bring you back to your own moment. It's a distractor if you keep worrying about it. And the other is that to understand that when you're taking in information from other people, or they want to say you should do this instead of that, or I don't like the way you did one thing and I think you should be doing another, understand that people's feedback to you, especially in adulthood, is there to help refine you, not to define you. And so the key here is that you want to just kind of filter it through your own perspective and go, is what they're saying for my best benefit, and is what they're saying useful? Can I, you know, is it genuinely kind of well intended, and can it truly help me? And I think those are some things that people can do to handle the criticism of others.
Such a good point. Yeah, I'm a big believer that whatever comes my way, whether it's, you know, negative, positive, it's all for my own experience and how I'm going to look at it, how I'm going to perceive it, how I'm going to use it as a source of empowerment for me, not, you know, for me to feel bad about myself or feel less than or any of that. It's to empower myself. Find the joy in it. No matter what it is, just find the joy.
Yeah, well, and to your point, I think that if people adopt the idea that that they're going to learn from every experience, that becomes an important way that people can help develop resilience.
So yeah, resilience
it's a very resilient attitude. So that's super important. The other is that if people are ill-intended and they actually want to hurt you, then understand that it's not about you. It's whatever's taking place is actually coming from them and is more about them than it is about you.
That's right. I totally agree. You know, there's one book that I really love is The Four Agreements. And one of the pillars is don't take it personally. It's not about you.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love your self-mastery work, emotional. I mean, that's something that I've pursued for, gosh, since 1991. When I was exposed to Tony Robbins for the first time. And since then, I've just been continually cultivating my emotions, my mental, my mindset. And you've hit it right on the you know, really with your book, 90 Seconds to a Life You'll Love. You've really captured every aspect on how to be able to cultivate the real self, the best self of who you are, and develop that. I want to thank you for what you've done. This is a huge book. Big, because there's not a book out there that shows exactly step by step on how to help yourself, really help yourself, and look at there's tools. These are tools that you are providing, mastery tools.
Yeah, no, thank you so much, Suzanne. It's actually been a 10-year journey, and from the start of this, it coming out, and the whole 90 Seconds book is chock full of strategies from handling feelings to handling these unpleasant feelings to changing the way you think to dealing with actually what I call disguised grief or taking in compliments. It's so chock full of strategies.
Now strategies, but also, I mean, just amazing ahas, you know, I'm looking at, I'm going, I want to read that again. Because it's, you know what I'm saying? It's like these quotes.
Yeah, no, you know, if the truth be told, the book is written to help people, to help give people back to themselves. That's really what it's all about. It's that we start to, you know, we go through life and we start to get disconnected from what we really value about ourselves or who we really want to be. And the book is really intended to help people up-level their life and be able to go pursue whatever they want.
Well, that's even at 56. I'm doing that, Joan. I'm using your book, man. I'm using it. Thank you, Joan.
Awesome.
Thanks so much for everything. Gosh, 90 Seconds to a Life You Love. How to Master Your Difficult Feelings to Cultivate Lasting Confidence, Resilience, and Authenticity. That was amazing. Now, I know you definitely got so much value from this show. You got to take a look at her book. Again, 90 Seconds to a Life You Love. I believe there's a website called 90 Second Book. Is that right? 90secondbook.com?
90 Second. Yeah, if they're going to that before February 12th, there's lots of bonuses on there to come with a pre-order, and it's 90secondsbook.com. And otherwise, the book is available everywhere online for pre-order.
Fantastic. 90 Seconds Book.
Yeah, 90 Seconds Book.
You just said something, and what else?
Offline, it'll be available in places like Barnes & Noble and Costco.
Costco, that's great. Awesome. Man, I can't wait to celebrate all your successes. This is wonderful. And again, you know, if you really enjoyed what you heard on this show, definitely share it with some of your loved ones who can get value from it. It will change their life for the better. And if this is your first time listening to our show, please subscribe so I can continue to serve you with the most current natural health information available today. Also, connect with me on Instagram at Dr. Suzanne. I post regularly on how to become the best version of yourself through self-care, nutrition, kimchi, movement, and lifestyle. And what's great is that you'll be able to engage with me directly. Yes, I respond to all of the comments personally. If you need help in digging deeper to get to the root cause of your health issues so you can feel better again, I work with people globally through phone and Skype consultations. So just go to my website, drsuzanne.com, for my contact info. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.